Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. We pray. Lord, raise yourself up as king in our hearts. Amen. You know, there's really one thing that every country, nation, kingdom wants and needs, and that's peace. Peace from war, peace from economic problems, peace from bad guys. You got the cops to protect from robberies and murders, etc. And there's really one thing that a country, a nation, a kingdom needs in order to bring that peace, and that is a good government, a good ruler, a good king. I heard a lot about that recently in elections as the different candidates promised that they would bring such peace in this way or that. But whatever you think about the people that we elected, one thing is certainly true. No earthly ruler can ever be called good in anything but a relative sense. Because they're all sinners. They all make mistakes. And even if they do a really good job, most of the time they mess up now and then, and eventually they die, and their kingdom falls, and their peace ends. Even the best rulers that existed, even a legendary ruler, a mythical ruler like King Arthur, couldn't get it done. But what if there was a king who could? Who could establish a kingdom of perfect peace forever? That's what Micah tells us about in our text this morning. He's talking about the kingdom of God. When he says the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, the mountain of the Lord's house, well, that's Mount Zion. We talked about that in my last chapel in Joel. That is the people of God, his kingdom. And it's not an earthly kingdom. After all, Micah's talking about things here that are physically impossible. He's talking about a spiritual kingdom, Christ's reign in the hearts of believers, you and me, through faith. Now, this is a kingdom that needs a king. And the king, of course, is Jesus, as our text shows. He is the one who is lifted up. He is the one who judges between nations. Verse 7, right after our text, says that Jehovah will reign over them in Mount Zion. And then Micah tells us exactly what he means a few verses later when he says, But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little amongst the clans of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from ancient times. This ancient of days, this Jehovah, God Almighty, this is Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, who lived a life of want and need, who fulfilled the law perfectly in your place, who suffered and died, who rose in the glorious power of God. And when he did those things, he was being lifted up as king. You know, the Israelites had a problem in Micah's day. It's something that he preaches about quite a bit in his prophecy. They had this need to raise other things up above God's anointed. Psalm 2 talks about this. Why the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces. They wanted to get rid of God. They wanted to get rid of Jesus as their king. And they had all these other hills. Micah keeps talking about these hills throughout his book. Things that they set up above God. Some of them were actual hills, high places where they worshiped false gods. Some of them were the hills of their own will, of their own desires, of wanting to go their own way and deserting God because they thought they'd be better off without him. But they weren't. On their own, they were weak, wounded, and wanting, scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And so are you and me. We try to do the same thing. Set up our own hills, our own pride, our own needs, our own desires, the God of me, our own free time, our own entertainment. There's so many things that we try to set up as more important than Jesus. But you know, when a king comes to power, very often in the history of the world, when there's a coup d'etat, they kill all the opposition. Execute their brothers, cousins, anyone who might pose a threat to their power. And that's what God does in Jesus graciously for you and I. He comes to cut down, to cut off, and to kill all of the high places that we would raise against His rule. All of our pride, all of our sinfulness, because it's only when Jesus is King that we have peace. And yes, Jesus really does deliver peace. That's what Micah's talking about in verses 3 and 4. He says that they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, changing weapons of war into tools for agriculture. He says they won't even know how to fight. They won't be afraid because there won't even be such a thing as war. How can that be true? You know, in the years leading up to World War I, one of the greatest philosophies of the day, most commonly prevailing ideas, was that people had reached such a height of civility and wisdom that there would never be a war again. And then came the bloodiest century in the history of the world. According to one estimate, between 1914 and 1990, 231 million people were killed in wars. 231 million. Does that sound like peace? And it hasn't stopped since. And the reason is that man is not capable of peace. Whether it's nation against nation or you against your neighbor, your roommate, your brother, your sister, your parents. Somebody insults us, we think that we have to lash out at them with violence. Or at least a war of words. You hold a grudge against someone and think you better take your revenge. You feel like you have to prove yourself right, and failing words or wisdom to do so, you put up your fists to fight. War is in our very nature as sinful humans, and we can't stop. So what is Micah talking about? How can he make this prophecy? He says that it must happen, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Well, just as the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom, and just as Jesus is not an earthly king, so this peace is not an earthly peace. In the upper room on Monday, Thursday, Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This is a peace of the heart. A peace that comes from the forgiveness of your sins. A peace that comes because the war is over. Not the war between America and Afghanistan or Germany and England or any kind of war that's existed in the history of this world, but war between God and man. A war that you started by raising up your own hills in rebellion against Jesus. The war that you started because of your violence, because of your fighting, because of your pride. A war that we started because of our sin. But a war that Jesus ended by coming down and being born in Bethlehem, by bowing his head and taking upon himself all the sin of his citizens, paying the price so that you might have peace, so that your sins might be forgiven, so that God might look at Jesus and say, "It's over. These are now my children. They are forgiven. And the peace is yours, both now in your hearts and then in the eternal peace of heaven." Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Like maybe I should have started this chapel saying, "Once upon a time, some kind of fairy tale." Well, as far as this world is concerned, physical peace, it is. But in Jesus, our King, and the peace that He brings, the peace that comes to our hearts because of His reign, because of His mighty power, because of His sacrifice for our sins, that is no fairy tale. That peace is yours. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 341, verses 1 and 3.